Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Well, welcome back to a Burden and Blessing podcast this week, and we are taking up today the timely topic of social media use, particularly involving Facebook and particularly looking at it from a Christian perspective. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel. Joining me to talk about this topic today is Pastor Ben Libby. Ben, it's good to meet up with you to discuss this and to get us started. Give us some of the things that Christians should be thinking about when they use Facebook and other forms of social media.
Well, basically, Mark, everything. I think the problem with these platforms, like, I like social media in general, I'd say. Like, I feel like it's a pretty good tool. You know, it's a really easy way to communicate with each other. I was doing a little bit of research before we got into this topic, and it sounds like, I heard some statistic, I'm not sure if it's true or not, that a quarter of the world's population has an active Facebook account. So, when we're talking about just, like, scope of people that you can communicate on Facebook, it is large. So it can be a great tool. But the problem is, it's so often not used in that way, and not just Facebook, but any social media platform. I think there is a danger that sometimes we don't see when we post things, when we like things. It's so easy to just kind of get a strong opinion out there that does not reflect the love that you have for Jesus. And I think, you know, it's something that people just don't think about sometimes. They just spend and they don't care. So I think that's kind of the problem. Would you agree? Is there something else you would include with that, Mark?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that what you mentioned there is the first point to start our discussion. That's kind of the appeal to Facebook, right? Is the anonymity of it, of being able to get your message out there without really having to confront somebody, without having to sort of see their reaction. I mean, obviously somebody might respond to you in text, but, and even like you mentioned, you know, some people were assuming here that the people listening are familiar with how Facebook works, but the idea of just clicking a like, you know, and what that signifies, to your support of whatever you're liking there. It may seem like a trivial thing, you know, the word like is kind of a small word in our culture. It doesn't carry a lot of weight or significance, but in the Facebook forum, when you give your support to something, do we as Christians always consider the ramifications of that? Do we follow that process out and think, is this something God would want me to be supporting, even if it's something as simple as a Facebook like? Those are the types of things I think that fit into this first category where you say we're not always thinking about what we're doing because of the ease of access, because of the without having the reaction of the other person on the other end. Taking that one point there of, you know, explain for us the danger there from a biblical perspective of giving your thoughts or opinion or even a disagreement to someone without having the advantage of seeing their reaction. Why would that be concerning from a biblical perspective?
Well, I think first and foremost, even without the biblical perspective, you don't get the context, I think. You know, it's easy, you know, I've had this problem a lot, Mark, in text messages that I kind of look back at my text and I know how I meant to say what I said, you know, but I can kind of see how someone might take that in a different way because they can't. We express a lot, you know, with our voices, with nonverbal communication. And then when you just simplify it to text, just script, it can kind of be, you can't pick up on certain things. You can't pick up on, like, sarcasm, for instance, Or you could take something that isn't sarcastic and you can take it that way. So first and foremost, it's really easy to take like text on a computer screen out of context, I think. But also, kind of coming from the biblical perspective, then it kind of, you as a person represent things, right? We're both pastors, Mark, so I represent my church, you represent your church, but every single Christian represents Christ. Mm-hmm. So I think when you go online and you just kind of spout off whatever thought pops into your head, that's going to reflect poorly on your Savior, and that is something that we do not want to do, right? We want to get out of the way of that. We want to let Jesus shine. We want to fade into the background, and we want to promote Him, but we also are humans, and we have strong opinions, and when we have this platform where we can voice those opinions at any time, any place, whenever a thought just happens to flow through my head, and I can just type it into my phone and push send, that just, it doesn't, it's not the best way to reflect Christ. And I think it's just so dangerous to have that on you all the time. Like, maybe think about what you're going to send before you press send. Think about it for, I don't know, a minute at least. Just say, is this typed the best way it could be? Is this expressing what I want it to express? And does this express my love for my Savior?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and what you mentioned there can be true even if you're correct in what you're saying. You know, the Bible does talk about how we present things, not just in the content, but in the delivery. So even if you're right in what you say, is it the best forum? Is it the best use of that? If you know the person directly, could you maybe call them on the phone? Could you try to reach out to them in person? That would certainly be much more preferable. But it's like that double-edged sword, that part of the blessing of Facebook, we might call it, is the ease of communication. And there are many good things that come along with that. But with that ease also comes the temptation as Christians to take those shortcuts in the way that God wants us to talk to one another. We kind of talked about this a little bit before we started our recording, but another concern with Facebook is how it relates to freedom of speech in our nation. I can think of just, you know, you and I probably can both relate to this, that just in the sports world alone in the last week, there's been two or three major headlines that involve freedom of speech and somebody who, you know, maybe said something out of line or out of context or something that offended somebody, just in the sports world. I mean, we're not even getting mm-hmm. into politics yet or in any other forum. How should a Christian approach Facebook with the keeping in mind, on the one hand, what God says, how we should communicate in His Word, but also balancing that with our freedom of speech in America? What's the best way for a Christian to navigate that?
Well, that's kind of a hard question, Mark. What is the best way for a Christian to navigate Facebook? It's tough, I think. It's honestly, I stopped using Facebook for the most part. And, I mean, I think kind of the reason I did so was kind of around that time where all the data leaking was going on, and it was clear that they had all our information and they might be doing less than honest things with it. But, I mean, I didn't really care so much about that. I think I just kind of stopped. I've been stopping using Facebook since, you know, probably for the last, like, 5 to 7 years. I still use it because I have a church account that I like to, you know, post sermons on and stuff. So I get on it once in a blue moon. But I think kind of the problem is that even if you don't post things on Facebook, and a lot of people don't, you know, there's a lot of people who go on Facebook, spend a lot of time on Facebook and do not even post a single thing. They just scroll and scroll and scroll. And the problem with that is that what are you doing? You know, you're looking at what other people are saying, what other people are doing, their pictures, you know, etc. And I think it's kind of like, it's a real exercise in how to use the, you know, the eighth commandment, I think, to just, you know, give your neighbor the benefit of the doubt. When we just scroll and we look at all this stuff, it's like gossip on, you know, steroids. because it's people posting their own stuff, and then you kind of, like, you look at something and you kind of silently judge them, or you might even, you know, write something down. So I guess kind of to answer the question that you asked, Mark, it's how do we navigate that? We need to be thoughtful. I think, for one thing, you should probably, if you're spending a majority of your time on any social media or on multiple platforms, try to cut down, maybe, because I think that would be a good exercise. Not saying cut down like I cut down, like, that's not what I'm saying at all, but maybe just try to think, have I been on for a long time, and what am I doing on here? Like, have I done something good, or have I only, you know, just looked at, you know, trash?
Yeah, you mentioned the Eighth Commandment, and that I was going to go there in a moment, but it's kind of, you know, the Eighth Commandment in that sense, when it comes to social media, is kind of the gateway to other commandments as well. Because when I look at somebody else's life and I just see snapshots of what's going on in their life, that might lead me to covet what they mm-hmm. have going on. That might lead me to envy their situation over mine. That might lead to discontentment with what the Lord has given me. Because you see, you know what, 0.01% of what's going on in their life as a whole. You know, you see a little bit of a snapshot of everything else that's happening, and usually mm-hmm. people just put the good stuff and the highlights, and it's really easy to fall into discontentment. It's easy, like you mentioned, to let it become a time waster. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to, like, the first commandment of how am I honoring God? Where's my priority in my life? It can even become a matter of the fifth commandment if I start to get angry about something that somebody says or a position that I disagree with. It's very unfortunate to see that happening more and more often, as, you know, especially in the area of politics, as our nation gets very divided on certain issues in politics. It's very discouraging to see Christians just jump into the fray mm-hmm. and start breaking the fifth commandment, really, in how they treat others and what they say about others. And it just becomes sort of this opening of the door to all these other different commandments. Bringing it back to what we were getting at a few minutes ago, specifically as it relates, though, to freedom of speech. You know, if you had somebody say to you, well, I don't really care if you have a problem with what I say on Facebook, I have the right to say that. We are mm-hmm. free to speak our minds in the United States. What would your response be from a Christian perspective?
Well, I think, yeah, freedom of speech is something that we treasure here in this country, right? It's, you know, everyone, you'll hear it often said, oh, I don't like what you said, but I'll support your right to say it, right? Mm-hmm. And freedom of speech is overall great, right? Because that's what we want, too, as Christians. We want the ability to say what we have to say about Jesus and not fear repercussions, you know? If we were in, like, a different kind of system, you know, other than, you know, what we are in the United States, we could get, like, thrown in jail for preaching Christ crucified. So freedom of speech is great up to a point, right? Because just because you can say anything does not mean that you should. Just because you can say anything does not mean you are right or correct. And just because you can say something, even though you may be right or correct, does not mean that it's loving. Mm-hmm. I think of 1 Corinthians 10, Mark, verse 23, all things are lawful for me. This is Paul quoting, you know, the Corinthians' own, what they were saying. But he says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And I think that's a great point that Paul brings up there. Yeah, all things are lawful. Like, we can say whatever we want, but not everything we say is going to be helpful. Like, yeah, you can make a point on Facebook, and that's fine, and you can express your opinions, but think about it first. Like, think about who's going to see that. Think about where that's going to go, and think about what that really says and what that says about you as a Christian. You know, it's just, you have to ask yourself these questions over and over again when you post things, and I think a lot of people don't. And it's just dangerous.
Yeah, and for our listeners, remember where we are two pastors, we're approaching this from the Christian perspective. So we're not saying that the whole world is going to abide by these principles. What we're saying, when you take the name of Christ and you bear that awesome responsibility in your life, it doesn't just affect social media. It's everything you do in your life. It's your thoughts, your words, your actions. It's how you treat your spouse. It's how you raise your family. It's who you choose to associate with. For some Christians, it's even dictates where in the country they choose to live because of the spiritual situation of different areas. Mm-hmm. So this is not something new to the Christian faith, but when you take the name Christ and people know that about you, that is such an awesome responsibility. And when I use Facebook, it almost paralyzes me in a sense, because there's, like you said, once you put something out there, it can go in so many different directions without a context, mm-hmm. without explanation, especially if it's divisive or if it's a disagreement of some type. And is that the best way to do that? Is that the best forum for that? I found in my experience a lot more often I'll private message somebody to talk to them instead of putting it out there in the open, because of that weight I feel of bearing the name of Christ and not wanting to discredit what it means to be a Christian or the name of Jesus in the public forum like that. And I think that we don't want to sound preachy, we don't want to sound judgmental, but to offer some sanctified Christian guidance and advice in this area, please, if you're a Christian who uses Facebook and are listening to this, think about that, please. Think about that, please, because you really don't know the impact that some of those things can have, because you just don't see it on the other end.
I got a question for you, Mark. You mentioned we're both pastors, and what responsibility do we as pastors have to be on things like this on Facebook? And obviously, since we're pastors, we're gonna see our own, you know, members are most likely gonna be our friends. Can you maybe just touch on maybe something a common member wouldn't really think about, you know, and how you as their spiritual guardian kind of have a responsibility even on Facebook?
Yeah, and this is something we've talked about a lot, and it's a tough question. But, you know, for our listeners here, just I'm putting on my pastor hat now. I'm speaking.
Yeah.
I'm trying to explain to our listeners what it's like as a pastor from our perspective, because part of what it means to be a pastor is you are the publicly called servant of that church, and you have been called there as a spiritual overseer of the soul care of the people there. And that can involve just about any area of life. And as social media increases and as people live out their lives in a way on social media, the question is, how does that apply to how a pastor cares for that person's soul? And so from the perspective of a pastor, it weighs heavily on our consciences when we know that the Lord is telling us part of our duty and responsibility is to care for people's souls and to see people saying damaging things on Facebook really is a weight that's hard to bear. And how to approach that is difficult. Because the first thing, you don't want to look like you're snooping around in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want people to think that, oh, I type up your name every day just to check on you to see, because that's not what pastors are doing. Oftentimes on Facebook, things just come up once your feed. It's there. You don't have to look for it. In fact, pastors are definitely not trying to look for stuff because again, our consciences are going to be bound about. How do I address this in the right, loving, respectful way? But at the same time, you know, we don't want to sound like we're busybodies. We don't want to take things out of context. But on the other side of that coin, we do still have a responsibility to the Lord, to the congregation, and to the individual Christian to bring them what the Word of God says. And so that's really another reason where the plea comes in. We can't censor what people say. We're not trying to. We're not trying to trample on freedom of speech. But for Christians, we offer the biblical guidance and advice of be very, very careful, be very, very cautious about what you choose to communicate there. Because people, even though it is indirect and even though it is digital, people know it's you. It's really, in that sense, it's really no different than if you went out on the street corner and shouted it to the community.
Right.
And the Lord tells us part of our responsibility as pastors is to bring His word, even in matters where it's only involving what we say and how we talk and those types of things.
Yeah, I just want to go back to a previous point you brought up too, Mark, about how the rest of the world is not going to be worried about it, right? They don't care, but it's something that we have to care about, you know? Not just us as pastors, you know? We do have to care about a certain amount of what our, you know, people are saying, just, you know, watching out for their souls, but everyone else isn't going to care, and they're going to try to goad you into, you know, arguments like this, and, you know, kind of something that I found to be just a really harrowing experience was, I'm on Twitter, and I follow Answers in Genesis, and any single time they post anything, not even something that's controversial, just like showing something from their museum, like a thing of Noah, they get thousands of comments saying, of like, from all kinds, like, and pretty much I'd say like 2% are positive. Everything else is just slamming them for believing in a young earth, you know. And I think something to kind of be careful of is that no one else is going to kind of play by these rules, you know. And even you might see even a lot of Christians who are just not thinking about it. But please, you know, think before you press send. You know, think about, does this reflect my love for Jesus? Does this reflect my love for my neighbor? Yeah. You know, and if it doesn't, don't do it, because it will go everywhere.
Yeah, and that's why the world needs it, right? The world needs that Christian witness. Jesus said, let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. You know, the world needs Christians to practice their faith as God gives it, not to blend into the world and look like everybody else. It's a definite important point. Mm-hmm. And you know, Christian or non-Christian alike, isn't it kind of a correct assumption here that people don't like annoying people on Facebook? You know, if you're blatantly rude, if you're obnoxious, if you're filled with anger, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, people don't like that. And so we have a common ground where we can say, hey, have we tried what the Bible says about talking to one another on Facebook? You know, if we actually try that, hey, maybe it won't be as annoying. Maybe it won't be as frustrating. Maybe it'll be a better user experience just for that reason alone of how, you know, the basic principles of communicating well. And so bringing this all around here, we said we're going to talk about this from a biblical perspective. We kind of shared our perspective as pastors. Let's get into the Word now. You mentioned a passage earlier, but what are some main portions of Scripture we can direct people to if they're wondering, okay, what is the Christian approach to this? What's some Scripture to share?
So I think, you know, the Bible's not going to say anything about do not spend too much time on social media, because it doesn't say that. You know, it wasn't around, you know, back when the Bible was written. But the Bible does say a lot about the tongue, right, and itching ears. And I think those things both apply to social media interface, basically, because you're not actually using your tongue, but instead you're using a keyboard, you know. So that kind of applies. And I think of James chapter 3, you know, when he says there that when he compares the tongue to the rudder on a ship, right, which controls the whole thing. It's so small, but it can steer the whole, you know, vessel. And I think that's very true about, you know, Facebook and social media in general. I mean, just think about how one little tweet can just completely destroy someone's career. We've seen, like you said, in sports, we've seen that recently where it's like there's one tweet and it just costs millions and millions of dollars.
People,
you know?
People call for them, for somebody to lose their job or to
be
penalized.
Outcry.
And, yeah,
right, exactly. And in that chapter too, he says, James says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And that's true. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So, and I think that's just, it's something to consider too, that the keyboard and the tongue are the same. And if anything, the keyboard, the phone, is the tongue amplified, you know, it's with a loudspeaker, because like you said, Mark, it's like going out in public and shouting it from the rooftops.
Yeah.
All the world's a stage.
When James wrote that, all they really had was direct communication to one another, face-to-face, maybe through letters, but you're still only communicating with one person at a time. And even then, he said, the tongue, as you mentioned, is like a forest fire, a world of iniquity and unrighteousness. Think about how that's exasperated today. As with one click, you can reach thousands, millions of people. We really need to start considering it. I think, yeah, you mentioned James 3 is one of the foremost sections of Scripture where God reminds us how devastating our speech can be. I think of, you mentioned 1 Corinthians 10 earlier, where Paul says all things may be lawful, but not all things edify. Later on in that chapter, verse 32, he says, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. That's one passage I think of when it comes to Facebook. That word for causing someone to stumble, we might be familiar with older translations that use the word offense. How often do we hear about people being offended by what's said on social media? But the way the Bible describes that is not just hurting somebody's feelings or saying something somebody likes, but really putting a spiritual death trap in between that person and God. And Paul says, whoever you are, when you make choices in your life and you're a Christian, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. That was comprehensive of the whole world. Whoever you come into contact with, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let it come from God. And like you said, let it show forth your Savior, Jesus. That's the best way to build someone up. And if you're in a disagreement with somebody, that's really the best way to show what the truth is to let Jesus and His Word come forth. And so, my advice from that passage for Christians would be, keep that in mind. If you struggle on Facebook, maybe tape it on your computer somewhere or near the screen, so that when you're about to say something, you think, is this going to cause someone to stumble when it comes to their faith? Maybe it's not worth posting. Any other passages come to mind?
There's just so many that really talks about just, you know, the Christian life. I think that it's really hard to kind of even get into, to even touch on. It's just like you said, I think that's a great idea to kind of post something like a passage on the corner of your screen. Did you have any other passages that you wanted to look at?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where there's so many that come to mind, it kind of overfloods your brain a bit, and it's hard to keep track of them all. And, you know, I think, too, just the you've probably heard this. I was taught this as a child, that, and I tell my catechism students this, that the Lord designed you with one mouth and two ears. So use them in proportion to one another. And I think that's another good rule of thumb that fits with the biblical perspective. The last passage I thought of in connection with this study comes from 1 Timothy 6. And as we remember, Timothy was a young pastor who needed guidance in how to deliver God's word to people and how to say something and when to say it. And the Apostle Paul warned him, saying, if anyone teaches another doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has a sick interest in disputes and arguments over words. And then Paul went on to say, from these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, constant disagreement among people. And he goes on in the rest of the chapter to fill out that thought. But when I read that verse, doesn't that sound like Facebook sometimes? Doesn't that sound like social media, that constant disagreement, useless arguments over words? Paul's warning to Timothy was, when you don't lead with Christ, like you mentioned earlier, when you don't let Jesus come forth in your speech, that's really what it degrades into. It becomes just these fruitless arguments. And I think people on Facebook, for the most part, can recognize when something becomes that way. It seems like when I read a certain thread where there's a pretty heated argument going on, it seems like people realize, well, you know what, this is probably not going to be the first time in history that someone was convinced over Facebook, because it never happens. And so people understand that it's somewhat of a fruitless endeavor, but it seems like the desire to get my point across or to get the last word in there almost becomes more important than actually trying to build up that person in the truth.
Right.
And so I think that section too reminds us of how crucial this topic really is, that it strikes directly at the gospel. It strikes directly at who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. And anytime something does that, it's something we should take seriously as Christians.
Yeah. I think kind of just to wrap up too here, Mark, just if you could just, to everyone, to all the listeners out there, you know, how if you could just kind of simplify, you know, the crux of the matter and give some good advice, pastoral advice to these members, how would you say, what are the things to remember about using social media?
Oh man, you're going to make me do that, huh? Oh man, solidify it into one thought. You know, I would use a passage that I use for almost every circumstance of my life, whatever topic we're talking about, and that's where the Apostle John said, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And I think if that's the attitude we come to with Facebook and social media, I think we'll recognize the dangers if we keep that in our minds. And that's really what faith is, right? That Jesus is the leader, Jesus is more important, Jesus is the one that I trust and that I obey, and I put myself on the back burner. And I think if we do that, we minimize the offense that we give, we minimize speaking out in anger and emotion, we emphasize witnessing of Christ and letting people see that in the world. And just something as simple as that can kind of encapsulate, I think, what we're aiming for.
Yeah, definitely. And I think kind of what I would say to kind of, you know, close the subject too is just think about who it is that you serve, right? Because we all serve God because of the great love for which he has loved us with Jesus dying on the cross. We serve him. We spread his message. And when you spend a lot of time on Facebook, and like I said, don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to go on Facebook. But
yeah, we're going to promote this podcast on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. So there are some good things out there, but just please be careful. Some practical advice I would give to everyone, delete the app from your phone, because you do not need that Facebook app on your phone. Go on the computer at home, maybe. But you don't need that constant ability to see what's going on. You know, everyone else does, but it's just such a temptation, I think, to always throw out our opinions, and a lot of the time they're junk. And I think a lot of people are addicted to it. You know, they love social media, and a lot of people, like you said, Mark, are addicted to having their point come across loudest in all caps, and maybe not convince someone, but just to be heard. And I think, you know, it's just, we want to be heard, but we don't want to scream at the top of our lungs our own opinions. We want that still small voice of the gospel to come through in what we do and what we say. And sometimes on Facebook it's hard to do that, but that's our challenge.
Yeah, that's a good summary. Yeah, and appreciate the discussion. Hopefully our listeners appreciated it as well. We'll try to post some of the Bible passages we used in connection with this podcast so that hopefully you can dig into Scripture and study some of those sections too, because I really do believe that some of those sections will change the way you approach social media. So, Ben, thanks for taking time today and discussing. Thanks to our listeners for continuing to tune into our podcast. Remember, you can find them on burdenblessing.org as well as on our Facebook page. And please, if you like our podcast, consider subscribing and consider sharing with someone else. We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.